The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
15 homeless people have died on the streets of Perth since July. That was the word in the weekend papers. The rate of Aboriginal homelessness is 13 times higher than that of non-Indigenous people. This is a crisis and an area that Dr. Betsy Buchanan has been working in for more than 3 decades. Her tireless campaigning in this area led her to being inducted into the WA Women's Hall of Fame, and she joins me now. Betsy, you wrote a very powerful opinion piece in the West Australian yesterday. What more can be done to house the homeless in Western Australia?
Well, at the moment, the Department of Communities have a lot of empty houses, and that's also in the regions. They could put some of the crisis people, often of whom have very ill children or have been victims of severe domestic violence, into them as a temporary measure to save lives. But also, the government do have funds to do what's called spot purchase. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, the prices of houses in places, even like Albany, where we've got a chronic housing need for Aboriginal people, mm-hmm. are much cheaper than they previously were, there would be enough money in the spot purchase fund, or it could be increased. Maybe some of the money that was given for maintenance could be diverted into it to buy up houses. That would save us the torturous bureaucracy, which Aboriginal people can't really make their way through often, and enable them to be, so to speak, crisis housing. Sometimes it may have to be for longer than 12 months just to get families back on their feet, because most people we deal with have been through extreme trauma, mm-hmm. including domestic violence. Sometimes their children have been very traumatised. Mm-hmm. They've had suicides, they've had homicides. There's a lot of trauma underlying most Aboriginal homelessness, and the government just seemed to have abandoned those families.
Betsy, are you encouraged by the fact that we have been profiling, you know, these shanty towns that are popping up around our CBD to really highlight the issue that Aboriginal West Australians are facing?
Look, I'd like to say something about the West Australian. In the whole time that I've been working, they have always been the ones that have stepped forward to try and draw attention to what was going on, both in terms of homelessness and child abuse. When we had the campaigns under Mr. Richard Court, Section 64, the West did multiple articles. Mm. Colleen Egan did multiple articles on the strikes, and we've always had support from the West, and we're getting it now, to try and draw attention to what's happening with Aboriginal families, that they're being discriminated against, that they can't respond to the sort of society that we've created, because the services that are set up don't really listen to them or meet their needs, and they must be accompanied by housing. It's pointless to tell a traumatised family, look, we'll counsel you, we'll give you mental health help, we'll give you suicide prevention strategies, if you don't have a house, because they just can't access them. The money would be much better spent on spot purchase. I mean, they could solve the housing problem within a few months. They've got an efficient bureaucracy. It's just that, in fact, Department of Communities, the housing branch, are very efficient and very responsive. It's just that all their energy is now being put into evicting people and also making it extremely hard for them to apply again.
When you say evicting people, what do you mean? Who are they evicting at this point in time, considering there's a moratorium on evictions?
Well, I'll give you an example of a family we're working with at the moment. She's a young woman with 5 children of her own who's been subject to quite horrific violence, domestic violence. Her family have had a lot of intergenerational trauma, so what used to be the Department of Communities have just placed 2 wards of the state with her, so she's got 7 children. The department are in the middle of putting huge amount of energy into evicting her. They've taken her back and forward to court, causing her fear and trauma. The amount of energy and money that's going into trying to make 7 children homeless, including 2 that are in the care of the state, I think we have to get across to the public, and I think that the newspaper are trying to do that, how grave that behaviour is, considering their rhetoric is completely in another different direction.
Yeah. It's really interesting because I was just speaking to the City of Perth Chief Executive Michelle Reynolds, and she sort of echoes the sentiment that there is a lot of community, there's a groundswell of community support to ensure that homelessness of all forms is eradicated moving forward. I guess the community support is there. How do we move the needle with this when it comes to bureaucracy and the government?
How we move the needle is that the government need to get together and change immediately their policies towards Aboriginal families and the Department of Communities. You'd have to say at the moment it's a human rights and policy disaster. Mm-hmm. They could solve it by making a decision to buy spot purchase housing. They have the legal means to do that and they do have the money. At a time when the houses are so cheap, they could buy dozens of those houses and house those families. There's nothing a Lord Mayor can do unless they have an impact on the Department of Communities, because the Department of Communities are making a constant stream of people homeless, hundreds a year. So every time any so-called solution is put up, hundreds more homeless people will follow. And just the example of what I gave you, where are those seven children going to go? And the mother, the traumatised mother, she'll join the ranks of the homeless, and after her there'll be another one. And then I think last year the government evicted, I think it was 450 or maybe even close to 500 families. The figures are underestimated because a lot of people leave because they're told they have to hand their keys in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, how can, it's a rhetoric that's basically in a void at the moment.
Yeah.
How can they make any difference at all when a government are constantly creating the homeless, not just evicting them, but not allowing, once you get evicted, you can be told you are never to be housed again. So, for example, that woman that I've described could be put on the never to be housed again list for the next decade. Mm-hmm. So her children will definitely all be removed. And she'll be given a debt which would have been caused by her violent, very violent first partner. Mm-hmm. It could be as much as $20,000, and she would have to pay that back before they would even look at taking an application for her.
God. And therein lies the spiral, right? You're homeless, you can't get a job, you're probably struggling on whatever minimum welfare you've got. So that circle of horror just continues.
It's a circle of horror in the sense that mothers become very despairing. And uncharacteristically, they sometimes turn to alcohol and drugs because they lose all hope. When you can see that young mother struggling like mad, she's gone back and forth to court. She's agreed to take some children in the care of the CEO because she's such a responsible person. Mm-hmm. If they succeed in evicting her, which they are most determined to do, and as I said, they put a huge amount of resources into it, they will destroy her. I mean, I've seen so many lives destroyed. All those waves of evictions have led to deaths, suicides, imprisonment, removal of children. And the other thing that people won't face, and certainly the mayor candidates haven't really touched on it, when children are abused, evicted, and thousands of them have been, the risk of them being abused is massive because they've got nowhere to go, so they crowd into houses. They've got no real status in that house. Mm. And their exposure to trauma and abuse is enormous.
Absolutely. And today you'll be hosting Shelter WA's Lord Mayor Forum, where you will talk about all of these issues. What are you hoping to hear? What campaign, what candidate would have, what message are you hoping to hear from the candidate that you will back?
Well, some understanding of the issues would help. I don't think they're the sorts of people who have really got an understanding of
any lived experience.
I mean, even though we've got an ex-magistrate and the magistrates do the evictions, but that magistrate, I'm not criticising him personally at all, but he was in the children's court. But his colleagues, his fellow magistrates, would have presided over thousands of evictions. You have to go through the magistrate court. If the department can't frighten the people out of the houses first, and they do try to avoid the scrutiny of the court approved the evictions. And because the legislation was tightened under Mr. Barnett's government to make it very easy to evict people. The magistrates' hands are basically tied, and though they try very hard to prevent children being evicted, they still have to evict them. Yeah. So no one who's been a magistrate should ever say, how did this happen? Because magistrates are the instruments of evicting.
Yeah, for sure. Have you spoken, speaking of the opposition now, have you spoken with anyone in that party about their plans should they come hell or high water win the election in March? Will they overturn Mr. Barnett's?
Well, they brought it in. Mm. I am having to say definitely for balance that this present government have followed it. So they have taken their policies and kept using them. Mm-hmm. The opposition do have a Minister for Homelessness, mm-hmm. and he has objected to them selling so many houses. But see, when they were in government, they sold thousands of houses.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've done nothing but denude the public housing stock. But the even worse thing for Aboriginal people, they've virtually made it impossible for them to get into public housing. And if they do, they're totally insecure because they can be evicted so quickly, and it's become entrenched into government policy to evict Aboriginal people and then to abandon them. The Department of Child Protection, as they were, are supposed to be attending every eviction where there's children, and there almost always are children and often a lot of children, but they just don't do it because if you look at what they're being faced with, how can they help that family when their whole basis of shelter has been removed? Yeah. They don't control houses. They're basically asking support agencies to do the impossible, to help people who are homeless and you can't. Yeah. I mean, that's the only reason I brought in personal issues in my piece, that you cannot be healed if you're homeless. The fear, the violence, the anxiety, the sense of stigma and loss of self-esteem is so deep-seated. I mean, those things happen where you've been abused anyway, and look how many Aboriginal people have been abused.
Yeah.
The Royal Commission documented thousands of cases, and that's in our state, and the government know that. They're supposed to be responsible for healing the wounds of the Royal Commission, and they still keep evicting people. Most of those people they've evicted have been victims of abuse in their family.
It's just, it's such a very heavy topic. And Dr. Betsy Buchanan from Day Dawn Advocacy Centre and How's the Homeless Representative, I really appreciate you joining us and sharing your very personal story yesterday. We will keep an eye on, the forum today, and then let's also keep in touch to ensure that we keep that community groundswell for support of Aboriginal people going.
Thank you very much for your time.